Chapter 21. The lady sleeps. Oh, may her sleep, which is enduring, so be deep. Heaven have her in its sacred keep. This chamber changed for one more holy, this bed for one more melancholy. I pray to God that she may lie forever with an opened eye, while the dim sheeted ghosts go by. My love, she sleeps. Oh, may her sleep, as it is lasting, so be deep. Soft may the worms about her creep. Far in the forest, dim and old, for her may some tall vault unfold some vault, that oft hath flung its blackened winged panels fluttering back, triumphant, o'er the crested palls, of her grand family funeral some sepulchre, remote, alone, against whose portal she hath thrown, in childhood, many an idle stone some tomb from out whose sounding door she ne'er shall force an echo more, thrilling to think, poor child of sin. It was the dead who groaned within. 1845. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 bridal ballad. The ring is on my hand, and the wreath is on my brow. Satins and jewels grand are all at my command, and I am happy now. And my lord he loves me well, but, when first he breathed his vow, I felt my bosom swell, for the words rang as a knell, and the voice seemed his who fell in the battle down the dell, and who is happy now. But he spoke to reassure me, and he kissed my pallid brow, while a reverie came o'er me, and to the churchyard bore me, and I sighed to him before me, thinking him dead delore me, I am happy now. And thus the words were spoken, and this the plighted vow, and, though my faith be broken, and, though my heart be broken, behold the golden token, that proves me happy now. Would God I could awaken, for I dream I know not how, and my soul is sorely shaken lest an evil step be taken, lest the dead who is forsaken may not be happy now. 1845. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 notes 1. T. The Raven was first published on the 29th January, 1845 in the New York Evening Mirror, a paper its author was then assistant editor of. It was prefaced by the following words, understood to have been written by N.P. Willis : we are permitted to copy in advance of publication, from the second number of the American Review, the following remarkable poem by Edgar Poe. In our opinion, it is the most effective single example of fugitive poetry ever published in this country, and unsurpassed in English poetry for subtle conception, masterly ingenuity of versification, and consistent sustaining of imaginative lift and pokerishness. It is one of those dainties bred in a book which we feed on. It will stick to the memory of everybody who reads it. In the February number of the American Review, the poem was published as by Urls, and it was introduced by the following note, evidently suggested if not written by Poe himself. He following lines from a correspondent besides the deep, quaint strain of the sentiment, and the curious introduction of some ludicrous touches amidst the serious and impressive, as was doubtless intended by the author, appears to us one of the most felicitous specimens of unique rhyming which has for some time met our eye. The resources of English rhythm for varieties of melody, measure, and sound, producing corresponding diversities of effect, having been thoroughly studied, much more perceived, by very few poets in the language. While the classic tongues, especially the Greek, possess, by power of accent, several advantages for versification over our own, chiefly through greater abundance of spondaic feet, we have other and very great advantages of sound by the modern usage of rhyme. Alliteration is nearly the only effect of that kind which the ancients had in common with us. It will be seen that much of the melody of the Raven arises from alliteration, and the studious use of similar sounds in unusual places. In regard to its measure, it may be noted that if all the verses were like the second, they might properly be placed merely in short lines, producing a not uncommon form. But the presence in all the others of one line, mostly the second in the verse stanza? Pitch flows continuously, with only an aspirate pause in the middle, like that before the short line in the saphicodonic, while the fifth has at the middle pause no similarity of sound with any part besides, gives the versification an entirely different effect. We could wish the capacities of our noble language in prosody were better understood. Ed. Am. Rev. 2. The bibliographical history of The Bells is curious. The subject, and some lines of the original version, having been suggested by the poet's friend, Mrs. Shu, Poe, when he wrote out the first draft of the poem, edited, The Bells, by Mrs. M. A. Shu. This draft, now the editor's property, consists of only 17 lines, and read thus. I, the bells, ah, the bells, the little silver bells, how fairy-like a melody there floats from their throats, from their merry little throats, from the silver, tinkling throats of the bells, bells, bells of the bells. 2. The bells, ah, the bells, the heavy iron bells, how horrible a monody there floats from their throats, from their deep-toned throats, from their melancholy throats. How I shudder at the notes of the bells, bells, bells of the bells. In the autumn of 1848, Poe added another line to this poem, and sent it to the editor of the Nyan magazine. It was not published. So, in the following February, the poet forwarded to the same periodical a much enlarged and altered transcript. 3 months having elapsed without publication, another revision of the poem, similar to the current version, was sent, and in the following October was published in the Nyan magazine. 3. This poem was first published in Colton's American Review for December, 1847 as Oyulum, a ballad. Being reprinted immediately in the Ohm Journal, it was copied in two various publications with the name of the editor, N.P. Willis, appended, and was ascribed to him. When first published, it contained the following additional stanza which Poe subsequently, at the suggestion of Mrs. Whitman, wisely suppressed. Said we then we too, Ben H., can it have been that the woodlandish ghouls the pitiful, the merciful ghouls to bar up our path, and to ban it from the secret that lies in these wolves had drawn up the specter of a planet from the limbo of lunary souls, this sinfully scintillant planet from the hell of the planetary souls? 4. T. to Helen. Apostrophe Mrs. S. Helen Whitman was not published until November, 1848, although written several months earlier. It first appeared in the Union magazine, and with the omission, contrary to the knowledge or desire of Poe, of the line, Oh, God, lo, heaven, how my heart beats in coupling those two words. 5. A Annabelle was written early in 1849, and is evidently an expression of the poet's undying love for his deceased bride, although at least one of his lady admirers deemed it a response to her admiration. Poe sent a copy of the ballad to the Nyan magazine, in which publication it appeared in January, 1850, 3 months after the author's death. While suffering from Oak deferred, as to its fate, Poe presented a copy of Annabelle to the editor of the Outerne Literary Messenger, who published it in the November number of his periodical, a month after Poe's death. In the meantime, the poet's own copy, left among his papers, passed into the hands of the person engaged to edit his works, and he quoted the poem in an obituary of Poe, in the New York Tribune, before anyone else had an opportunity of publishing it. 6. A Valentine, one of three poems addressed to Mrs. Osgood, appears to have been written early in 1846. 7. An Enigma, addressed to Mrs. Sarah Anna Lewis Tella, was sent to that lady in a letter, in November, 1847, and the following March appeared in Sarton's Nyan magazine. 8. The Sonnet, to my mother Maria Clem, was sent for publication to the short-lived Lag of Our Union, early in 1849, but does not appear to have been issued until after its author's death, when it appeared in the Eaflets of Memory for 1850. 9. F. for Annie was first published in the Lag of Our Union, in the spring of 1849. Poe, annoyed at some misprints in this issue, shortly afterwards caused a corrected copy to be inserted in the Ohm Journal. 10. T. De F. Francis Sargent Osgood appeared in the Roadway Journal for April, 1845. These lines are but slightly varied from those inscribed, O Mary, in the Outern Literary Messenger for July, 1835 and subsequently republished, with the two stanzas transposed, in Graham's Magazine for March, 1842 as O One Departed. 11. T. De F. S. S. O.D., a portion of the poet's triune tribute to Mrs. Osgood, was published in the Roadway Journal for September, 1845. The earliest version of these lines appeared in the Outern Literary Messenger for September, 1835 as Eines written in an album, and was addressed to Eliza White, the proprietor's daughter. Slightly revised, the poem reappeared in Burton's Entleman's Magazine for August, 1839 as T-12. Although Dorado was published during Poe's lifetime, in 1849 in The Lag of Our Union, it does not appear to have ever received the author's finishing touches. End of Poems of Later Life. Poems of Manhood, Leonard, Ah, Broken is the Golden Bowl, the Spirit flown forever. Let the Bell Toll. A Saintly Soul Floats on the Stygian River, and, Guinevere, Hast Thou No Tear? Weep Now or Nevermore. See, on yon drear and rigid bier low lies thy love, Leonard. Come, let the burial rite be read, the funeral song be sung. An anthem for the queenliest dead that ever died, so young, a dirge for her the doubly dead in that she died so young. Wretches, ye loved her for her wealth, and hated her for her pride, and when she fell in feeble health, ye blessed her that she died. How shall the ritual, then, be read, the requiem how be sung by you by yours, the evil eye, by yours, the slanderous tongue, that did to death the innocent that died, and died so young? Peccavimus, but rave not thus. And let a Sabbath song go up to God so solemnly the dead may feel so wrong. The sweet Leonard hath won before, with hope, that flew beside leaving thee wild for the dear child, that should have been thy bride for her, the fair and debonair, that now so lowly lies, the life upon her yellow hair, but not within her eyes the life still there, upon her hair the death upon her eyes. Avant! Tonight my heart is light. No dirge will I upraise, but waft the angel on her flight with a paean of old days. Let no bell toll, lest her sweet soul, amid its hallowed mirth, should catch the note, as it doth float up from the damned earth. To friends above, from fiends below, the indignant ghost is riven from hell unto a high estate far up within the heaven from grief and groan, to a golden throne, beside the King of Heaven. Tilde 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 end of text equals to one in paradise. Thou wast all that to me, love, for which my soul did pine, a green isle in the sea, love, a fountain and a shrine, all wreathed with fairy fruits and flowers, and all the flowers were mine. Ah, dream too bright to last. Ah, starry hope, that didst arise, but to be overcast. A voice from out the future cries, on, on, but o'er the past dim gulled. My spirit hovering lies mute, moth-eanless, aghast. For, alas, alas, with me the light of life is o'er. No more, no more, no more, such language holds the solemn seed of the sands upon the shore, shall bloom the thunder-zero blasted tree, or the stricken eagle soar. And all my days are trances, and all my nightly dreams are where thy dark eye glances, and where thy footstep gleams in what ethereal dances, by what eternal streams. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.